This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
It's a fairly open studio. Our office is an open office. We've been asking you guys whether or not you think our open offices are good or a bad thing. Are they a blessing or a curse? Are you for them or against them? Let's start off with the tweets. Christine, what do we have?
So we've got quite a few tweets in, actually. So we've got this one in from @ClangRiver. Who just says, the amount that I had to pretend like I was working was exhausting, going back to the surveillance issue. And I also couldn't pick my nose in peace.
I know that issue.
At Clang River, now you've been outed. I apologize, but hilarious. But thank you for your comment. Also, this is coming from @LianJim, who says, I'm working as a developer and I prefer some privacy where I can deeply focus on my work. I prefer well-designed cubicles with some openness, with a proper like study of movement between departments, with a common discussion area, etc. I would say that Malaysia is overflowing with badly designed open offices.
That's a very good point. Going over to Instagram here, I've got Days of Roro, who says, it's a curse. I can't stand it. No privacy. And I have to look at people I can't stand.
Fair enough.
Chiral 10 says, refreshing. Saving up space, more communication, but less privacy. Yes, we've got that. Zara Razi, who says, yes, so that people are more integrated. And final one for now, Farudin Najumuddin, who says, I hate open offices like mine because the IT team are noisy something clowns. Yes. Our IT team are fairly quiet.
Yeah. Who's the one who said badly designed open offices?
This is @LianJim on Twitter.
Yeah. See, I think that's like pretty true because a lot of people like to hop on that open office bandwagon.
Right.
Just like a lot of people who are hopping on the co-working space bandwagon. Yes. And then you saw like some just pop up and then disappear in a month.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know how to operate.
How to do it.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, that's true. Everybody wants to look cool. They have like an open office, but they have no idea how to run like an open office.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep the messages coming in, folks. Of course, we do actually have more. We'll get through those in a few minutes. Moving on to story number two, four small mindset shifts that will make you more productive.
Yeah, so this is coming from a study by leadership training company Vital Smarts that happened in March 2018. This found that 70% of managers currently have at least one high potential or HIPO employee they are considering letting go for poor performance. High potential employees are those who have exceptional decision-making, technical and analytical skills, but who have trouble staying focused on the right priorities, struggle to meet deadlines, and fail to communicate or avoid surprises in their workday or responsibilities. So in order to become productive, HIPO employees have to change their mindsets. So this is coming from Fast Company, and here are four mindset shifts that can boost productivity and effectiveness. So the first one is to think about from chaos to choice. When it feels like you can't take a minute to breathe at work, that's exactly when you need to push the pause button. So instead of being overwhelmed by like the amount of stuff that you have to do, try to be mindful about what you're doing, and you know, then you can often get a clearer picture of what's truly necessary and what can be discarded or delegated. You can see that what you're taking on is a matter of choice instead of feeling like you have no control. For example, let's say you have a really tricky issue that crops up. There's a tendency to just take care of it because it would take too long, quote unquote, to delegate. You might be like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one who can do that. It's just faster if I do it myself.
I've got to get it done.
Yes. But you have to stop and realize that you're choosing to take on that task instead of building a system that will help your team get better at handling these tasks and freeing up your time. So just making more conscious choices about that. The second one is from to-dos to agreements. So a lot of people, including me, we have our to-do lists, but we have to stop collecting an array of errands and tasks and instead consciously think of each new obligation as an agreement. So instead of just being like, oh, this is like they check off whenever, it's more a promise, like an actual...
I will do it by this time.
Yes, and actually, essentially adding emotional baggage to these tasks is really what it is. Because then you have a measure of control in taking on the activity, and then you begin to weed out the tasks that don't need to be done or don't need to be done by you.
Right.
You think of each thing as like a specific committed agreement.
Yep.
Then you've got from performance to outcome. So if you find yourself really overwhelmed, sometimes it can be because you're focused on the process instead of the outcome. So we have a bit of an obsession with doing everything better and measuring performance analytics, but that might actually remove us from why our work matters and reduce engagement and productivity. When you get really stressed to the point where you're like, oh, I don't want to do this, just step back and say, okay, what's the outcome that I care about? What do I actually want the result to be? The last one is from urgency to impact. Another problem area that the Vital Smart survey uncovered was that these high potential employees were too busy putting out fires to get to the work that mattered. 37% of managers surveyed said that these workers do too much quote-unquote busy work. So instead of organizing your day by ticking off some quick hits on your task list, focus on the meaningful work first and build your day around getting those things done. So that's something that I'm actually guilty of, because what I do is I have a little thing that just says check emails, and then it makes me feel like I've done something in the morning.
That's maybe, on your list, check emails.
Yeah, but it's a nice thing just to remind myself that, you know, it's just a nice clearing thing. But maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I need to shift my mindset to do more important
stuff. From urgency
stuff
to impact.
Yeah.
Mm. No, I don't think so, because there was this one speech where someone said that the moment you get out of bed, make your bed the first thing in the morning before you start anything else, because it gives you like a sense of accomplishment. So I don't see what impact making your bed would have, but it you know, it gets the ball rolling or something. But just like you're checking emails.
Yeah, but I think it's more about just making sure you have your priorities in order when you're doing tasks, instead of just, for example, checking emails all day as opposed to doing something that you actually need to do.
Something significant.
Do the something significant, maybe, and then maybe check your emails. Might be more the point of that.
And then make your bed.
Just out of interest. I was going to say out of interest. Is making your bed the first thing that you do when you get out of bed?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, no? Yeah. Not the first thing. The first thing that I do when I get out of bed is I run to the bathroom, to be honest.
I do it because when I get back to my bed, it looks nice and clean.
I
can just sink into it.
When you get home, for your little nap.
Yeah.
I make my bed because I do my makeup on my bed. So if my bed isn't made, I can't put my face on. And then if I don't put my face on, then I can't go to work feeling I'm ready.
Okay, back to the question at hand. Whether or not we think that open offices are a blessing or a curse, are you for them or against them? A couple of messages over on Insta Story. Anita, who said she's against. Najman, who says both. I'm for-ish. Very good for collaboration, but bad for concentration, and any workplace needs both. Stuart Kunsang has said, I'm starting to enjoy them, save for the occasional loud voices during the teleconferences. November Blaze, against. Cannot focus. Better make a hybrid with personal cubicles and open space for discussion and brainstorming. You mean like the opaque office?
The opaque office.
Yes.
Trademark it now.
Trademark Richard Bradbury, 2018. Over to Christine on Twitter here.
Yeah, so we've got at Mohammed Adrian, it's M-O-H-D, who just says benefits outweigh cons, reduces development of silos, which is interesting.
Yep.
We've also got at Raja Gopal 18. Oh, and they say a Bartleby article on The Economist reported that open offices can lead to closed minds as employees seek ways to protect privacy and avoid distractions. Hot desking doesn't fare well either. It really depends on how managers build trust more than the physical space.
Interesting. Hmm. Anything over on the WhatsApps?
Not yet.
It's quiet on the WhatsApps.
Come on, WhatsApp. There must
be something wrong with
WhatsApp.
You can
send us voice messages.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want.
018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Let's take a short break. We've got some music coming up from Chris Montez with Let's Dance, followed by a little bit of John Lennon, I'm Losing You. Don't go anywhere. It is BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.